B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Hey baby, wake up from your sleep. We have arrived onto the future and the whole world is become electronic, supersonic, electronic. Hey baby, ride with me away. We doesn't have much time. My blue jeans is tight, so onto my love rocket climb. Inside tank of fuel is not fuel, but love. Above us, there is nothing above, but the stars above.
All systems gone. Prepare for down count.
5, 4, 3, 1. Off blast.
Fly away, my space rocket. You no need put money in my pocket. The door is closed, I just lock it. I put my door plug in your socket. Hey, love crusader, I want to be your space invader.
Everybody, good morning. It is the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. As Family Matters plays in the background, I suggest everyone watches it with no sound. Urkel was Bruce Lee Urkel in the one where I woke up, and he took on a bar room full of people. And now that it's 6 o'clock, he is the magician Urkel.
What was Urkel doing in a bar?
I'm telling you, I'm watching with no sound, but he was Bruce Lee Urkel, where he has a wig on and whatever you call the thing that karate people wear. And then he takes it off, and you can tell, like, he's been working out, like, in real life. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, he's, like, flexing and stuff, and then he beats up this bar of people. And then the next one, I turn around, and he's got on a magician's outfit and a top hat. So Urkel is really stretching himself there. They just said, reality be damned, we're keeping this thing on the air.
I think that Jaleel White, the actor who plays Urkel, ended up doing pretty well for himself, not from Urkel money, but I think he was one of those child actors who somehow was able, fortunate enough to, you know, go the other way, not like the Corey Feldman way, where you just become engrossed in yourself and start a band that is awful, playing covers of songs from the Lost Boys at bars in Lynn. But no, he went in a different direction, and that was the production side of it. Like, he's produced... Like, his name's, I think, attached to a couple of shows that have done really well. So I think he's actually made a lot of money. He was almost kind of like Peter Billingsley. You know, Peter Billingsley, the kid from A Christmas Story.
Yeah, he's with Vince Vaughn, producing a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Right, so he, like, hooked up with Vince Vaughn and produced a bunch of his movies and has done other stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, he's one of those guys, too, that just, out of nowhere, like, oh, my God, he's worth that much money. I think Jaleel White might have actually done something good after Family Matters. So he had some brains in his head, or at least he had somebody around him that actually cared, and he didn't turn into you're the Urkel guy type of situation.
I'm on it right now. Jaleel White. Mm-hmm. Got to figure it out. Got to see what he's on.
Yeah, because I'd heard that. Maybe I was wrong, but I thought he was one of the guys who actually did something and produced some things.
He's still on TV occasionally.
Yeah, he was in a movie randomly, and I'm like, oh, who is that? And I looked it up, and it was
him. You said, who is that? How dare you?
Well, I mean, he's all smooth, you know? Well, then again, I never saw the Urkel episode, Stefan Urkel, when he was smooth. I only remember him with, of course, the nerdy glasses and the overalls.
Yeah, there is... Uh, if you didn't see an Urkel one, then no, he has not produced anything. He's produced Parking Lot Pimping, Fake It Till You Make It, and a series called Grown Ups that had one episode.
Yeah. See, for some reason, I thought he was one of those guys. I guess I had that one wrong.
Well, you know what? I had a feeling Jaleel White didn't have any brains in that head of his. He always did the celebrity basketball. Like, that was his big thing, like Justin Bieber, yeah, where he was going to go out and, like, prove that he wasn't, you know, Urkel in real life.
It's so weird if you just happen to tune in during I guess it was Saturday where they held those games, right? The celebrity games. And you say, oh, my God, it's Urkel. He's dribbling a basketball. Look at him.
And he was, you know, and they always, like, overwork out to compensate for, you know, the fact that he was a nerd. Because it can't be easy.
Right. You got to show off the guns wearing that uniform. Yep.
And so he would, like, work out and, like, go, hey, I'm not my character. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So, oh, boy. He was on the... That show ran for, like... 15 years or some crap, Jesus. That Jaleel White, very busy though with a little spot work here and there. So there
does he do like cartoon voiceover stuff too? He's one of those dudes who got into that. I think he's done some cartoon voice work.
I'm looking at his IMDb page. DuckTales. He did some DuckTales work.
And according to episode, yes.
Yes, and according to this, he was a voice on the NBA 2K video game. There you go.
So there you go, and he played himself. If you got enough code, you would see that it was Jaleel White.
You can import him onto your team.
Absolutely. So yesterday, I slept. That's all I did yesterday. I have no idea why. There's something about working from home when there is which I'll be back in the studio next Wednesday. But there's something about working from home where. When you have an opportunity to go to bed right after the show, that is exactly what I do. I can't resist it. And I go right to sleep. And I'll sleep for 4 hours.
Oh, Jesus. Lucky you. That's awesome.
What do you do?
Well, again, I've been back in studio now for this
Oh, that's
my
right.
Fifth
You're in
week.
Studio. Right, right.
But when I was working from home, and I think Rich and I had the same deal, the second the show is over, you maybe get 2 or 3 minutes to yourself, and then you're thrown right into the frying pan with the kids and schoolwork. So that's what I did.
Oh, yeah. With the schoolwork, my son's in camp, and my daughter has some baking, online baking thing she does with my wife. Mm-hmm. So I got nothing I have to do.
Oh, God bless. Go to sleep. Go to sleep as quick as you can. Yeah. I'm on your side, man.
Yeah, I have nothing to do.
Great.
I
mean,
then I pick up my son from camp at 3. And I take and then I meet my wife and daughter at the pool, and then I'm on my way. That's all I got to do. So the days are free, my friend, until 3 o'clock, from 10 a.m. till 3 o'clock. I got nothing. So there you go. I haven't worked out in about a month, but nonetheless, I have not much to do. Rich, have you been in the dinghy?
Yep, I did the dinghy yesterday. I'm dinghying about 3 to 4 days a week doing that. And yesterday I did a good, 45 minutes in the dinghy. The world's coolest guy all by himself just doing laps.
So you do laps?
Yeah, it's like a little path I do. There's this harbor here where a bunch of people like keep their boats, and I just basically go in between them in this big circle. So if I do this massive circle like twice, then that's kind of like a 30 to 45 minute workout. And I got to be honest, it's actually working. Like I never work out ever my upper body ever, and here I can't get weights or anything like that. And it, like, hurts. Like, my arms are just completely sore. And I don't even know if it's a good for me or it's a good workout. All I know is that I hurt. So I guess that maybe that's doing something somewhat effective. But I look really super cool doing it, too. Just a nerd in a tiny boat. Just in front of my... At least I know how to do it now. When I first did it, I was knocking into other people's boats. I didn't even know how to do it in the right direction before. I didn't know how to row. like the whole science of it was just completely foreign to me. I would go in circles, and now it's actually something, and I like it. It's like it's my one excuse to get away from everybody for a little bit. And to be quite honest, it's like it's, you know, most of the time it's gorgeous out there, but it's, you know, I'm the world's coolest looking dude when I'm in that tiny little boat.
Because that's like your one escape.
It's
right?
It's the one thing, yeah, that and riding my bike, but when I kind of effed up my back, like I've been slowly but surely getting back onto the bike, it, you know, that still sucks. But yeah, that's like my one kind of happy moment away from everybody. And it's so dumb in concept, and I look really stupid doing it, but I really enjoy it. Like I actually brought a fishing pole out there the other day. And I tried to go fishing, like, in the middle of, like, the harbor, just sitting there in the dinghy. I didn't catch anything, but I didn't care.
You have like, no now balance I get it. On that thing. If the fish is big enough, it's going to yank your ass out of that thing and put you in the water.
Dude, I'm not going to catch Jaws out there. I mean,
no, if I'm talking anything, like a six-foot fish or something less than that.
People do that. Fish?
Well, not even a six-footer. I'm exaggerating.
A six-footer?
I'm exaggerating to make a point.
Dude, I'm thrilled if it's going to be 6 inches out there. But people do it. Like, I mean, there's people in small, you don't have to go very far out into the harbor to actually catch fish. And apparently everyone's like just ripping stuff and pulling stuff out of the water because I guess there's tons out there right now and I can't catch anything. That's not the first time I've tried to fish the entire time I've been here and I've caught nothing. And I don't know if I'm doing it right or I'm completely awful, but I mean, for the first time, I'm turning like into Peter Fonda or Henry Fonda on Golden Pond right in front of you. You know, next thing I know, I'm going to be running through the woods getting confused, but I'm taking the dinghy out into the middle of the harbor with my stupid little fishing pole. So
yeah, you're like someone in a jail cell. Like if you hand them like a Rubik's Cube,
it's true. It's like just whatever kind of tiny bit of freedom. I caress it, I cradle it, and I embrace it. And that's what.
When was
that's
the last time you sat down and talked to another human for any length of time?
That doesn't involve like Zoom.
No. Yes, in real life, like in real life, like sitting down.
Like had like a 10-minute conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw somebody I did know on the beach. And I spoke for about 5 minutes only. So it's been once. It's been once since March. And that was, you know, once again, 6 feet apart with masks on. That was it. So, no.
You and your wife gotten in any arguments?
Yeah. I mean, but nothing crazy. But, yeah, I mean, there's times where stuff gets frustrating. Absolutely. I mean, this isn't easy for anyone. But, yeah.
No,
yeah,
that would be totally. – I mean, you are – So you're basically on house arrest.
Well, it's kind of easy to be on house arrest here. That's the one thing I will say, is that there's plenty of space. Like, you can get away from everybody. As I said, I got my stupid boat. Like, it's like it's easy to kind of get away. Like, there's space here. So if I need to walk away from everything, there's plenty of room to do it. Like, I can go on my bike and get 10 miles away from home. Like, that's the one thing that I'm happy about. And I think that's the only thing keeping me sane, is that I'm not stuck in a tiny house. Like, there's plenty of outdoors here, which that is the only thing I think keeping all of us from losing our minds. But no, as far as human contact, real human contact, no. That part of it is kind of house arrest, is that I just can't, we can't do that, unfortunately.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. That's why I'm turning into an old man who's going to wear his pants up to his nipples, fishing in the dinghy. So I'll keep you updated as to whether I get any luck with my stupid fishing pole, which is probably made for a 12-year-old sitting out in the middle of a harbor.
All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Well, it looks like we may have some sort of indicator as to what's going to happen to college sports. Ivy League makes the first move. On top of that, the Celtics make their way down to Orlando, and we have our first look at what life is like living in the bubble.
All right, we will have all that for you coming up. We will be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Did you catch a game last night?
Old Country Buffet.
Yes!
Guy. There you have it. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, could this be a sign of things to come? The Ivy League yesterday announced that it had ruled out playing all sports this fall, becoming the first Division I conference to say it will not hold sports this upcoming semester because of the coronavirus pandemic. Now, no decision has been made about winter or spring sports or whether fall sports are going to be played in spring of next year, and all of this is coming as colleges across America will make the decision in the next few weeks as to whether college sports, including college football, will take place this season. So Ivy League Executive Director Robin Harris told ESPN that, quote, the campus policies make it impractical for competition to occur. It's certainly the right decision for the Ivy League, but it's difficult. I believe in one of the statements that they released yesterday as well, they said that they wouldn't feel safe doing any kind of organized sports until there was a certified treatment or a vaccine. On top of that, yesterday, Ohio State, which fields more varsity athletic teams than any other school in the nation, paused voluntary workouts for 7 different programs after an undisclosed number of positive COVID-19 tests, joining a growing list of schools that have stopped their efforts to bring back sports. Now, while it's certainly possible that the Power Five conferences could end up reaching the same conclusion, according to ESPN, it's unlikely that they're ready to say it now. According to reports, late July, that seems to be the tentative benchmark to reevaluate if the college football season can start on time or at all and what it might end up looking like. Now, if you remember, the Ivy League, they were the first conference to decide to cancel men and women's college basketball tournaments because of the pandemic. And I remember when that happened, there was a lot of laughing like, oh, well, I mean, it's Ivy League. Like, who really cares? And, you know, no one will follow them. And then look what happened. The whole thing ended up getting canceled. So I don't know how much weight to put into this. It seems to be somewhat significant. Bert Breer seems to believe that it's somewhat significant. But we shall see. That was the first domino to fall, I think.
There are two things. First of all, on the whole, and I know Harvard especially has massive endowment. The Ivy League has a lot of money. They can afford to lose whatever small revenue they generate from their football programs. But a lot of other schools can't. And Fred, we were just talking about this. You know, college football accounts for well over half of a lot of schools' budget for the entire year.
Yep.
And Pete Thamel, who we've had on from Yahoo Sports, had a report yesterday. It was a tweet yesterday saying that the majority of the 12 FCS commissioners are still happy with the status quo. Now, we're not at the end of July yet, where, Rich, you were just saying that's the benchmark where you really got to get going to get ready for the college football season. But I don't know how much things can change in the next couple of weeks. I think it's still a go, and those teams that want to play are still going to play. I don't think this changes much.
Well, yeah, and they're going to have fans. I mean, they're going to – if I had to bet, because it's not – because college basketball, they just canceled the tournament. And I don't know how much that brings in for individual teams, but
TV-wise, a ton. Like, TV-wise, a lot.
Okay, yeah, but it's not. I don't know about individual teams. Like, I don't know about individual conferences. I don't know how that money is split up. Like, if, you know, what was the team, John Mason, the team that went to the Final Four?
George Mason.
George Mason. Like, I don't know what piece of the pie George Mason gets if they make the Final Four. I don't know how that money is distributed. But as I would imagine, as they have kids on, as they have football teams going through workouts, that maybe they would continue to play football.
If the SEC cancels, that would be more shocking stories of the year. Because, yeah. I mean, of all the conferences that are going to be gung-ho on all of this, and if you just look, however, at the map, that would be the one that would probably make the most sense to cancel. But we know what SEC football is. We know the mentality of the people who run those schools.
The boosters that they have to kiss the ass of. A huge part of being a college football coach is kissing the ass of the boosters, of the, you know, guys that are giving $1 million to the team and this and that. I mean, that's, you're constantly having to keep them in the loop. You're constantly having to, you know, appease them and this and that, and it's got to be a huge pain in the ass. If they cancel SEC football, I don't know. I can't tell you how much money they'd lose because the boosters are just going to go, fine, we're pulling our money. I mean, there is a great deal of fallout that comes from canceling the SEC station or the Big Ten, any Power 5 conference. That there's a huge, huge amount of financial pain that would cause.
That is a great point because it's not just the TV dollars that you'd lose, but it's the mentality of the people funneling their own money to the program that schools have to worry about.
Well, see, the way that it's been discussed for a while now, and this rumor's been out there for a decent amount, and now it's kind of popping its head back out, is that these schools wouldn't necessarily have to cancel the season. They would just move the season to the spring, and they would have fall football in the spring. Now, you heard Feinbaum saying that it would basically look like the XFL of college football because certain players like Trevor Lawrence and other big names, you know, they wouldn't risk playing that right before they would essentially get drafted, and I understand that. But if they're looking to save any kind of money, if for some reason they realize that this is looking bad and we might not be able to move ahead with it, I think they would opt to move it to the spring rather than just cancel it all.
Better start in April. Better start April 15th or later.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Well, I'll just tell saying. You this, is that if you tell a Clemson booster that they're not going to have Trevor Lawrence again, that Trevor Lawrence is gone, good luck with that.
Well, here's another thing that also doesn't help as far as fans in the stands, too, Fred, is that you had several NFL teams yesterday already preparing for the effect that this thing virus might have on attendance. As a matter of fact, the Baltimore Ravens announced yesterday that this year's season tickets will be deferred to 2021. And within the same release, they announced that if permitted by state and local governments, if it's allowed to happen, the largest amount of people that they will allow in the stands this season is fewer than 14,000 people a game. That's roughly 20% of M&T Bank's stadium capacity, which is like 71,000 fans. And the Kansas City Chiefs also announced a similar plan yesterday regarding the reduced capacity seating. Now, they didn't give a specific number as to how many will be allowed, but there were some reports saying that there seems to be a straight line amongst the NFL that 20% is the capacity that they're comfortable with during all of this.
The Colorado Rockies announced that they're planning to allow fans. And so, I mean, I guess that will be a good experiment because the Colorado Rockies and then the epidemiologist or wherever the hell it is says you got to wear a mask. So to go to a game, it's going to be limited attendance and you're going to have to wear a mask.
I have a question, and I heard this argument last night. I forget where I heard it, ESPN, something like that. But if you had teams say, okay, we're open, you know, we'll host as many people as we want, you know, whatever, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, you know, come on in. Do you think they'd be able to sell out games anywhere?
Sell out, maybe not, but they would do very well.
Yeah,
well,
they would do very well.
You think they'd get more than two-thirds? You think they'd get more than two-thirds in the
building?
Probably
two-thirds. You'd probably get two-thirds.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, if you look at the Trump rally, I mean, what did that feel like, half, if that?
Oh, less than that.
They had 6,000 people going in Tulsa.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I don't know what the arena held, but
it's like 17,000. It's like a basketball stadium.
Yeah, it was like 30 or 40% full.
I would say two-thirds. I would say that they don't sell out, definitely. And also depending on where you go. Mm-hmm. But I guess they'll use the Rockies as they haven't announced what percentage of fans. They said the team hasn't defined what limited number of fans might be, considering the ballpark typically seats just over 50,000 people. Jesus.
I have it. I have a report here from it's a guy who works in radio in Colorado saying they're applying to host 10,000 fans.
All right.
So that's, once again, the 20% rule seems to be going amongst all the sports here. And that's why the SEC thing is interesting, because I know that they want, you know, to have packed stadiums, but I mean, that's a hit, you know, especially for these places that hold 90,000. You know, I mean, you've seen, how many does Auburn hold? Is it 110,000?
Tennessee, what is Neyland Stadium?
No, it's Michigan's number one, then Tennessee's number two, and they have a peeing contest who can get the most fans.
Right, and that's like 120, right?
And again, good luck telling Tennessee fans and Florida Gator fans not to go to the games.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about college football, what do I think? I think the games would sell out. I think that the games for the huge programs would sell out.
Yeah,
no,
that I agree with. Yeah, the NFL ones, you're right. But the college, like the SEC games, you're telling me that Alabama's not going to have every seat full once the season starts?
Tennessee's going to have 100,000 people in there. And I don't know what the governor's thing is. I know the cases are going up there, but I don't know what the governor's idea is. But I mean, I don't see the governor of Florida pushing. I know it's not his decision, but pushing not to have a football season. I would imagine that he would do the exact opposite. He would put pressure on them to have it. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, we got a little Cam Newton hype going on over there at Gillette Stadium, and we'll get to the Celtics arriving in the bubble and what the conditions are like. We have an inside look at how life is in the bubble for the Boston Celtics.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a minute. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on already?
It was a tough day if you were in the Go Jared Stidham camp, because yesterday the Patriots officially signed Cam Newton, and boy, was there one hell of a social media blitz about it.
Yeah, every player that said that they were like, you know, they would just kind of mumble that, yeah, Stidham's great, you know, looking forward to the season. They're just going, guess what? We didn't mean it. one word we said.
Fred, have you ever seen anything like what was on social media yesterday, like from the official team accounts for a guy that they didn't fully expect to start?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, it's just counters everything that you heard the entire offseason. And now all of a sudden they're like, we have a superstar. Look at Superman's coming in and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
That was kind of telling, I think, what we saw yesterday. Now, I obviously know that the people who run the social media accounts aren't in charge of the rosters, but I think that we're not kidding anyone if we're thinking that Jared Stidham's got any sort of shot at starting.
Well, the players on social media, for ever since it was announced that they were going to sign him, have been all, you know, giddy with like Edelman and I think the McCourty twins. Like, there's been a bunch of people that have just been very giddy about it. Yeah, and if I'm Stidham, I'm sitting there like, hey, I was supposed to start.
And how about Antonio Brown yesterday on Instagram putting out a photo of him wearing a Patriots jersey?
Oh,
I'm like,
Jesus,
dude,
God.
I mean, listen, we knew he was delusional. And by the way, there's like reporters and people in the media who are saying, you know, if there's one of five teams that Antonio Brown would go to, you know, the Patriots would be one. And I'm just like, dude, do you not remember how he went out? You couldn't take a bigger blowtorch to an organization than you did here when you posted that thing about Robert Kraft. Dude, you're never going to be a Patriot as long as they own this team.
I swear to God, he tried to attach himself to Tom Brady, and Brady likes him, and then Brady went to Tampa, and Antonio Brown's like, oh, yeah, let's go play for Tampa. And then Bruce Arians is like, no.
I would not dismiss Antonio Brown to Tampa.
He's not going there. The head coach said emphatically that he was not going there.
Who has more power on that team? Is it Bruce Arians or Tom Brady?
I think it's Arians in regards to the wide. If you're strong at wide receiver. Now, look, if Brady didn't have wide receivers to throw to, the odds would be much better.
John, you're talking common sense. I agree with you. I think that if there's any team that doesn't need him.
As long as those wide receivers remain healthy, Antonio Brown is far too big a headache.
So after that little Instagram post, guess who was one of the first people to like it? Tom Brady, of course. Like, Tom Brady is enamored with Antonio Brown. And I don't get it. I mean, I get it because he's talented. But, I mean, this, you want to tell us what a weird dude to kind of put your neck out there for. So, just
he just says he's the best receiver in football. And this is, you know, that's all he's thinking about.
Well, it's when his head screws
how
on,
does it help me?
On, right?
Sure.
That's right. He's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if Antonio Brown's on the field, say, you know, he's been conditioning and everything, he's the best receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
And then so he's just, that's all he's thinking about. He's got little hearts coming out of his head because he's thinking, oh boy, if I only had you. But if the Patriots signed him, it would be the biggest screw you to Tom Brady of all time.
If they just would. That'd be kind of funny, to be quite honest.
Yeah, if they were just like, guess what? Yeah. Now Cam Newton's throwing to him. Brady.
And just think about how awesome. I mean, listen, the Antonio, it's never going to happen, but I mean, Cam Newton and Antonio Brown together. Oh my God. I mean, that would be phenomenal to watch. That'd be so, and like, just, I mean, not only on the field, but off the field. I mean, this would be just so, I mean, it would make our job so easy, obviously, as if it's not already. But let's talk about Cam Newton. Listen, you like hype videos? Here he is signing a contract.
Patriots have a new quarterback. The Cam Newton watch is finally over. The veteran QB is also reportedly, quote, hungrier than ever.
Cam Newton, look at Pete
Rock. There goes Cam.
All right, that's enough. Basically, it's just a big hodgepodge of, hey, look, Cam Newton signing with the Patriots now. I love how they made it official. It's like, I wonder if there's anybody who went on Twitter yesterday, whoa, Cam Newton to the Patriots? Wow, they're signing him?
Was that a, like, rap that included, like, that was about football?
No, that was sound clips that were being played of, like,
reports. He goes, like, I'm down with the football or something like that. I wonder if there's just, like, a rapper that was like, I'm going to make a song about football.
Well, I mean, really, it's kind of like the guy from Creed making a song just about baseball and how awesome it is.
It's the Creed of, perhaps it was Saliva or something that did it.
Saliva. So that is the guy. Well, click, click, boom. Well, Cam will be.
If you guys want to hear a quick story, if you didn't listen to BCM, Saliva's, if you go to sporting events, they're the band that sings click, click, boom that gets played. Was he one of the guys that sang on Outside?
Outside was the guy from Stained and Limp Bizkit. No, he was the one who sang on They Say That a Hero Can Save Us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the guy that I did nights and the guy that did afternoons, I was really good friends with, so I would come in like a little early and hang out with him. And he had some like cookie company or something had sent him this. You know those tins of flavored popcorns? Like the size of that, but it was all cookies. I mean, so we're talking about something that's like a foot high. And then, you know, so you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. It would be like a two trash can nachos worth.
Okay.
So the guy from Saliva comes in and he's like all like pit stains and everything. And he goes, sweet cookies. And he eats them. He eats the whole thing. He goes, I'll be right back. And then he was gone for like 20 minutes. And it turned out he was taking a dump. And he was just in the bathroom. And I forget the guy's name, but we're like, all right, well, the guy from
Joey something.
Yeah, we should be looking for. He should be here any moment. And he was just in there.
You know what he did? He sat down in the toilet. And, just boom.
I mean, can you imagine like being late for the interview? I got to take a jump. You can't take a jump on the bus.
Do not go in there.
I can't remember the fallout. I don't know if I was exaggerating or not when I used to tell the story, but because I used to say there was a horrible odor out of there, but I don't know if that's true or not. But
hey, guys, that guy. Cook ass, sweet. He was one of those guys. It was one of those like music festivals or whatever, and Saliva happened to be on it. He's one of those dudes that was like too fat to rock.
Yeah.
Like he would go on stage and like they would try to drop into this heavy beat and like headbang, and he would just have a hard time even like headbanging. He was like, whew, exhausting. Whew, can't headbang.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times in my life where I could relate to that. Line one, Larry, go ahead about Antonio Brown.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey.
Listen, I have a scoop on Brady. My cousin's sister's aunt knows somebody at Gillette Stadium, and the reason why he won't say nothing bad about Antonio Brown, his supporters, when he was staying at his house, he Brown found out that Brady sleeps upside down and drinks the blood of pure vegans. So that's how he keeps his youth, and he doesn't want that getting out from us.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
the blood of pure vegans. That's against the whole vegan concept. I ain't buying it.
Well, Cam is keeping his number from Carolina, number one. And yesterday, our friend Mike Giardi of NFL Network, I don't remember if he ended up being a hunk or a cutie pie from the poll that we threw
cutie
up,
pie.
But... he tweeted, quote, an ex-teammate told me Cam's, quote, motivated to stick it up everyone's blank. Why? Because that's how he always is. But did this delay in signing impact him? Quote, he won't say it, but he took names. Oh, man. You know what I say to that? Maybe that'll be Cam's new theme. Click, click, boom, baby.
That's right. Look at that, sweet. Don't mind if I do. That's all
God,
I got.
How great would it be if they ended up getting Antonio? I never thought about that. What a total F you.
Yeah.
Like, almost, like I wonder if, like, things, I know things didn't end bad.
Well, what did he say about Robert Kraft on his way out the door?
He, like, talked about him going to the massage parlor.
There's no way in hell he ever comes back.
John, you and I are speaking the same language. I agree.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it would be the biggest F you.
Oh, it'd be fantastic, but it's not going to happen.
I mean, it would be making quite a statement. It would be making quite a statement.
Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah, there would be. I mean, but, you know, who was the guy that was talking about? Who's the guy that from the Eagles that just got
Deshaun Jackson?
Yeah, Deshaun Jackson.
The one who put like that Hitler stuff up?
I don't Farrakhan, not good.
He used to follow a Farrakhan. I mean, the owner and general manager of that team were Jewish,
right?
So I mean,
really
they
smart.
Keep him. If they keep him, I mean. So you talked about me, you know, getting a handy. What do I care? Come back. We're going to say screw you to Brady.
Well, if you put it in that light, it's a little different. That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Fred, suddenly it doesn't look so bad. That's true.
I mean, if they keep him, I mean, I don't know. But they might think that he just doesn't know what... he just, because he says, I retweet lots of things.
He's that wildly ignorant, you think?
Well, at least that's like something that, like, Antonio Brown wrote out, wrote out something about Robert Kraft. And I'm just like, dude, how could you ever expect to be a Patriot again? Ever? Like, I mean, that, as I said, that's the biggest flamethrower you could take to any kind of bridge that you had with this team. There's no coming back from that, I think.
You hope?
I mean, listen, I
don't know.
I root for the comedy, and I'm rooting for this. I mean, that would be shocking. That would be more shocking than the SEC canceling their season. I said that SEC canceling their season would be one of the most shockings. That would be more shocking right there. All right, so I guess when we come back, we'll talk about the Celtics right now down in the bubble, and we got a little taste of what that looks like.
All right, we'll be right back with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused.
Toucher and Rich.
What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, the Boston Celtics left yesterday for the old Bubble Rooski.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we know about what's going on there?
That's right. The Bubble, otherwise known as the Colorado Springs Resort at Walt Disney World. And yesterday, Enes Kanter made a video of the room that he'll be living in for the next 2 to hopefully 3 months. And it looks like, well, a moderately priced single hotel room. Here is Enes Kanter.
Okay. All right, let's see. How does that hotel bubbles look like? Okay. That's it?
Okay.
Oh, my God. We're going to stay here for 3 months. I better get a good view. Oh, Lord. Not bad. So we're going to stay here for 3 months. That's it. Lord help us. Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's just a hotel room. I mean, they don't have any kind of like super... Now, listen, LeBron James, is he going to be getting the... single room with one little bed? No, he will not. And his Kanter will. But he was like, all right, here's my home for 3 months. This should hopefully be fun. I mean, now
you got access to the pool.
Ping pong. There's a DJ for the dudes. It's just all dude party.
Yeah,
why not?
I mean, you can go down to the rec room and just have the time of your life.
It has a nice coffee machine. I did see that. But the Celtics. By the way, Fred, did you end up seeing the pictures of the WNBA stuff?
Yes,
that I
tweeted
out?
The dinner. Yeah.
That's so gross.
It's just, listen, the WNBA, I would never watch it. There's not a reason in the world I'd watch it. But, I mean, that's cruel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like
disrespectful.
Awful. That's like awful cafeteria food. If you haven't seen it, Rich at Toucher and Rich tweeted a picture out. And it's like, anytime there's like corn niblets, it's like one of those like cafeteria trays with like different, you know, different little pods for the food that they put in. You get chocolate milk and like this gross looking pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just.
It's elementary school all over again.
It's so disrespectful and disgusting. I mean,
but like
just
the beds with
season.
The worms, though, Fred, on the floor right next to the bed. I mean, it was like they were staying. As I said, I've stayed in some really gross motels in my life. This was one of the grosser ones. There were like crusted up dead worms just sitting next to where their beds were, and there were mouse traps all over like the outside of their room where they were supposed to wash their clothes.
And why wouldn't they, you know, have done a once over of the rooms before the women got there?
Right.
Just don't have the season. Like if. I don't know. I don't know how much they make, and it can't be a lot. Maybe you just go, screw this. I'm not doing this.
That league needs money more than most leagues, if you think about it. So I can understand why they're pushing forward on this. They need that national TV exposure.
ESPN carries
a bunch of their games. They need to play games.
That's fine. But the league can play games. But what do you think they make? Like, what do you think an average WNBA player makes?
Oh, less than $100,000.
Probably like 50. I was thinking like 50, 60 a year.
Okay, so I've graduated from college. 99.9% of the girls, I'm sure, have graduated from college. I'm just going to go get a job. Like, I don't need that.
Well, it's like 3 months, too, that they're going to be stuck in this thing. It's one thing just to, you know, for a couple nights to stay in like an awful hotel room that's got – but 3 months, I kind of felt bad for them.
But that food and that worms and all kinds of crap, no way.
But it's not only that. I mean, they get paid so poorly that after the WNBA season is over in a normal year, then they go play in Europe for another 3 or 4 months.
Well, I'd go play in Europe for 3 or 4 months right now. Because I want nothing to do with that. I'm just so disrespectful. And I understand that. So when the NBA players complain, and look, being in 3 months anywhere would be a pain in the ass. But whatever. And they're so well compensated. But if I'm making 50 grand, 60 grand, and I can, and I have a college degree, and I'd be a bartender. I'd go be a bartender. I mean, I'm tall. You know, people would get a kick out of that.
Sure.
You know, maybe you'll get me some tips. You could put the tip can like super high at the bar, and then you could have people try to take shots, and you could swat them away. I mean, there's a million things you could do.
Look at the 6'6" woman bending bar.
Right.
Check her out.
If you can get the crumpled up dollar bill past me, you get to keep your tip.
You know, you just free drinks, and that would be the whole thing of the bar. Is that, you know, if you can get it past who was it, Brittany Griner, whatever?
Yeah, Griner. Brittany Griner.
She's like 7 feet tall. Just, get it past her. Don't have a shot. You don't have a shot. But, yeah, I mean, that is just so disrespectful.
It's bad.
Whatever that academy is, I mean.
IMG Academy.
IMG Academy. Now, is that like an agency's?
No, IMG Academy is not exactly a basketball factory, but, I mean, they do send a lot of five-star athletes to college. You know, basketball more than anything else.
Well, I would tell you this is that, boy, oh, boy, if I was thinking about transferring, that's the first place I'd want to go. The Worm Hotel that gives you corn niblets. An adult corn niblets.
Yeah. What the picture that I saw was just a picture of like this brown meat with like vegetable. It was like this you could see like grilled onions, but they were like all nasty and flaccid. And then there was like some sort of green vegetable that I didn't even know what it was. And it looked off. It was like, you know, when you back in the day when you would put the Salisbury steak TV dinner in the oven and you would open it up and it would just look like a big pot of diarrhea. That's what that looked like.
Yeah, it was a big pot of diarrhea.
Salisbury steak, like was Salisbury steak just like D grade meat where they had a gravy on it?
Yeah, no, I used to have that. Oh, it's always disgusting. Yes, that's
exactly I've never had it in my entire life. Yeah, it's just it's the meat that they couldn't get rid of, and they just put some crap on it.
Your school when you were a kid didn't have Salisbury steak.
If they did, I didn't eat it.
Salisbury steak was a staple at like the elementary school and like middle school. That was a big one. Stop sign pizza, which was just like a big thing of pizza with the corn niblets you're talking about, Fred.
Yeah,
no question. But Salisbury steak, I might have had Salisbury steak maybe once a week growing up just from the school lunch experience alone.
In middle school, there was like you could pick like I think in elementary school too, you could pick like one of three things. And then in high school, I never ate it at the cafeteria. I would just go home and go to the King, go to Burger King and get it on. All right, the Bankroll Boys are coming on, and as the baseball season is set to begin a week from tomorrow, we will talk to them about some props. They have presidential election props. We got it all. We'll have all that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.